Coming up on Hands on iOS, I'm going to show you some simple tricks to make your Safari browsing experience even better. This episode of Hands on iOS is brought to you from Twit's LastPass Studios. You're focused on security, but are your employees? Well, LastPass can ensure that they are by making access and authentication seamless, whether they're working in the office or remote. Visit lastpass.com/twit to learn more.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands on iOS is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/HOI. When you're on your iPhone or your iPad, chances are you are probably, maybe possibly, using the Safari browser to do all of your browsing. Part of that is because iOS currently doesn't let you choose another browser as your default, and so it just becomes simple to launch the Safari browser to be the way that you access the web. And whenever you use Siri for different things, it also will open those links inside of the Safari browser. So, given that, I thought I'd talk about some tools that can help to make your Safari browsing experience even better. Let's take a look. So, let's see here. We're going to go ahead and launch Safari. And boy, howdy, look, I've pulled up the Twit website. Now, this is the simple tool that I want to talk about, the simple settings that I want to talk about. If we look in the top left corner of the screen in the toolbar area or the search bar area, you can see a lowercase a, or rather a small uppercase a, and a larger uppercase a. When I tap on that, yes, you can tap on it, then there are some tools that pop up, and these are the tools that I want to talk about. If we were to push the button on the left, the small a, or the button on the right, the large a, it changes the default text size on the screen. So essentially, you are zooming in or zooming out of the browser, all the way down to 50% and all the way up to 100%. Wow, look how far I can go. 300%. I wasn't sure how far that could actually go because I've never gone that far in. But if you needed to, you could scale that text up to 300%. And we'll drop that back down to 100%. So there's your first thing. If you're having trouble reading a web page, maybe the text is super small, or there's something on the screen, there's an element that you can't see very well, you can hit that uppercase A, or rather the larger uppercase A, to make it bigger. And if things are looking too big for you and you want to zoom out so you can see more of the page, then the smaller A would be your best bet there. Next is the hide toolbar button. If you want a little bit more room on your screen, tapping that hide toolbar button just hides the toolbar, as you would expect. You can then scroll through the website, and if I were to scroll back up to the top and tap there at the top, then I can access that toolbar again. I'll tap the button again, and there are some other tools here. First is request desktop website. So here's what you need to understand. When you visit a site from your phone, your browser tells that site some information about the device that you're using. It says, hey, I am coming to you from Safari on an iPhone of some sort. And then the website can decide how it wants to display the content on that page. So it says, oh, Mike is visiting this site from an iPhone 11, or actually this is an iPhone XS Max. Micah is visiting the site from an iPhone XS Max. And so I should make sure that these parts of the website are this size and this is scrunched up this way. It basically resizes the site according to the device that you're using. But for some sites, that means that all of the tools that are normally available may not be available on that page. And one example is Google Images. I'm going to type in images.google.com and head to that page. And you can see that this is the mobile version of the site. But one of my favorite Google tools is the reverse image lookup tool. And right now, I can't access that functionality. It is a way for you to take a photo from your library or from, you know, your desktop or wherever the photo, you take a photo and you upload it to Google, and Google tries to find images that are similar to that. It's a good way to see if maybe a photo that you've found online is actually a stock photo, or if you're trying to find similar designs to the design that you've come across. And I can't access this currently in the mobile version of the site. So if I tap that button in the top left corner and I choose Request Desktop Website, suddenly I am using the desktop version of Google Images. And that means that over here on the right, I can tap on that camera button, and then I could choose to paste in an image URL or upload an image and use Google Images to reverse search that image. Then I can tap in the top left if I want to and request the mobile website. So you can jump back and forth between the two super simply. I'll tap in the top left again, and now there is a button that shows turn off content blockers. That we're going to talk about in just a moment, because that is a very fascinating thing that can make your browsing experience even better. Before we get to that, though, I want to talk about website settings. If I tap on this, it brings up another page. And then you can see here that it says, while viewing images.google.com, I want you to request the desktop website every time. You can set that so that every time it will always request the desktop website. I want you to turn on reader view automatically. I'm going to leave that off because on images.google.com, I don't want it to switch to the reader view. I want you to use content blockers every time. Again, we'll talk about those in a moment. And then it shows for camera, microphone, and location. Some sites will request access to your location to grant access to your microphone or grant access to your camera, depending on the site. So right now that's set to ask. That means that if that site ever wants to have access to those three things, it will need to ask me that. Upon asking me that, I can have it remember what my choice was and then always lock that in. So by tapping on the button in the top left and choosing website settings, I could then make changes to that now that they've been locked in. I'm going to keep Request Desktop Website turned on because, frankly, when I visit images.google.com on my mobile phone, I'd like for it to start there. And if I wanted to switch back, then I could. I'll tap Done, and we'll scoot out of that. Now let's go to, say, the New York Times. And the reason we're going to go to this website is because this is a website that has a lot of text content. And with text content, that means that it is available to be viewed. As you can see in the top there, it said Reader View Available. So I'm going to tap that button in the top left and look at the page now. You can see the headline, you can see the subheadline, you can see a photo, you can see the byline, and then it goes into the article. If I tap the button in the top left, I can choose Show Reader View, and it switches to a pared down version of this page where the headline is nice and big, the subheadline is there, there's the byline, and I can scroll through without a bunch of stuff in the way. It sort of cuts back on some of the distractions and lets you just view the article that you're looking for. Then I can tap on the top left again, and since we are in Reader View now, I can change the size of the text. I can change the font that is being used for this page. Maybe instead of San Francisco, I want to use Apple's New York font. Pro tip, fonts that have serifs, that's those little bitty edges that stick off of the sides of the characters, are believed to be easier to read than sans serif fonts, those fonts that don't have those little bitty edges that stick off the side. The idea is that your eyes sort of catch on to the next letter courtesy of those serifs, and so it makes it easier to read and understand what is being said. So a nice serif font like New York will be easier in theory to read. And then one of my favorite features here, I can change between a white background, a sort of sepia background, a dark gray background, and a black background. So if I was reading this page at night, I might want to use the gray or black page in order to make that text a little bit easier to read and a little bit easier on the eyes. And you can see that some of the content stays how it is, but I'm going to go ahead and choose to switch that back to white for now. Whatever selections you make there can stay in that format. And then let me just show you too, just so you can see, when I tap on the enlarge or reduce, then it will change the size of the text there. Now, how do I get out of it? Simple. You just tap hide reader view. And look how quickly it switches between the two. Show reader view and hide reader view. Now, there may come a website where you want to keep reader view on at all times. The New York Times is a great example of that. So you can go into website settings and say, hey, when I'm viewing the New York Times, automatically turn on reader view. And if you run into any issues, then of course you can just tap in the top left and choose to hide the reader view to shut it off. So that makes it so much simpler to view the web page and to actually consume the text that's there. Let's talk about the last section that I wanted to talk about, which are content blockers. This episode of Hands on iOS is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Incognito mode does not hide your activity. That's why, even when I'm home, I never go online without using ExpressVPN. The app reroutes your internet connection through their secure servers. Your information is 100% encrypted, and you won't even realize it's on. Protect your online activity today with a VPN rated number one by CNET and Wired. Visit expressvpn.com/HOI and get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/HOI. expressvpn.com/HOI to learn more. Content blockers. Apple introduced the ability to block content from loading on websites using a content blocking app. It is a way to tell your browser, the Safari browser, hey, when you go to load this website, these are the things that I don't want you to load. Oftentimes it's used for ads, sometimes it's used for widgets, sometimes it's used for social media buttons. There are loads of different things that maybe you don't want the site to load because it slows down the page and gets in the way of your reading experience. So with the introduction of a content blocker, Apple opened up a whole new category of apps. Today I'm going to talk about one app that I like to use as a content blocker, but there are loads of apps in the store that you can use. Just doing a search for content blocker will pull up several that you can check out. The one that I'm going to talk about is OneBlocker. OneBlocker is available in the App Store, free for purchase, and you can pay a premium monthly subscription to get access to the latest updates that add more ads and more types of content to be blocked as the company that makes the app continues to find things that need to be blocked. So you can download OneBlocker from the App Store, you tap on it, and the first thing it'll do is walk you through the process of installing and correctly setting up the OneBlocker. I'm going to show you how to do that now. I will come out of the OneBlocker app. I will go into settings. I will scroll down until I get to Safari. I will tap on Safari. And then I will scroll down until I get to content blockers, and then you will see a whole new section giving you access to control the content blockers that you have installed on your iOS device. So in this case, I just have one blocker installed. If you had several, then you would see them all listed here after you've launched them at least once. I want to turn on all of the options within the Safari section, because the app itself gives you control over which ones you actually want to use. So by turning them all on in Safari's settings, then you get to choose in the app itself which ones you want to use, which ones you don't. If you were to do it this way, then you go into the app and you toggle one on that you don't have turned on here, you have an issue. But with everything toggled on here, you can then choose within the app to toggle on and off. So I'm just going to go through and toggle on all of these sections. And then we'll pop out of the settings app, head into OneBlocker, and every time you launch the app, you can see that it automatically says, hey, I am I'm downloading the latest list of things that need to be blocked or don't need to be blocked. I'll tap on rules, and then I get to choose here what I want to have turned on. So right now I have block ads turned on. I have block track. I have them all turned on. Here are the things that you can block. Ads. Ads, of course, are, you know, banner ads, the pop-up at the top of the screen, on the left and right side of the screen. Trackers, which is a very big one. These are things that collect your data across different sites that you go to. Annoyances are things like cookie notices, the pop-up at the bottom of the screen to say, hey, this site uses cookies. is that okay with you? Is that okay with you? Is that okay with you? And so you can tap okay. Instead, you can block those, get those out of the way. And cryptocurrency mining. Some sites will actually try to use your devices as a processing unit for mining cryptocurrency. This will turn that off. Widgets like social media buttons and share buttons. Facebook tracks your information across websites. Anywhere you see a Facebook icon, a Facebook share button, you're likely being tracked if you have a Facebook account. So turning off those widgets is very helpful. Blocking comments. So some people don't want to read the comments. This turns off comments. I typically leave that one toggled off. And the reason why is because it can break some pages, especially Reddit. It is not good to have block comments turned on if you are using Reddit. And then adult sites. Of course, you can protect your kids or whomever you might want to by blocking adult sites. Then I can choose regional blocking. Say you don't want to receive any ads that are based in Russia or any ads that are based in France. You can block ads according to a region. And then there's the custom option. So maybe there are some sites that you want to whitelist because either you want those sites to have ad revenue from your usage of them, or you're running into an issue actually using the site at all because of your blocker. You can turn on a whitelist and then add sites to that whitelist. You can block any website or page using the block sites button. So you can say, hey, regardless of anything, I never want this site to be able to be loaded. You can block cookies completely. I highly recommend you do not do that. Cookies are an important function of the web, including just using on one site. It's third-party cookies that become an issue. You can hide certain elements on the page. So if you see a page that has this is very helpful for sites that do autoplay video. If you go to a website and there's always that video popping up in the corner, you can use the hide elements option to stop a certain autoplaying video from loading. And then force HTTPS. What this does is it says, I will only go to a website if it has an HTTPS option or an encrypted option. And then sites that do not, it simply won't load those sites. So turning that on does cause some issues for any site that isn't going to do HTTPS, but having that is absolutely wonderful if you are looking for the most secure browsing experience you can have. And of course, tapping that plus button next to advanced customization lets you create your own blocks, your own rules, and it uses regular expressions to help you do that. Lastly is the settings option. This just shows you how, you know, you can set things up. If you want to have this locked with Face ID so that you can log in or log out, then you can do so. And this helps you keep those things turned on. So now when I visit a website, I'm going to go ahead and turn off block ads I'll leave these turned on and I'll head back to the New York Times page. And you can see this is the normal page here with my blocker turned on. But now what I'm going to do is tap that button in the top left. Remember that button we've been using. And I'm going to choose turn off content blockers. When I do that, it will completely turn off all of those blocking options. And so the first thing you see here is this pop-up down at the bottom, the thing that says access more for free, create a free account or log in to access more of the Times. That didn't load before because it was blocked by that annoyances option. I will scroll down and let's see if we can't come across any up. Oh, there's something else, an advertisement. So that Red Rock secured advertisement. My wireless router has an ad blocking functionality. So it is also blocking the ad. That's why the ad itself is not popping up, but that is there. And then you can see some of the other stuff that is now popping up, given the fact that I turned off ad blockers. So let's turn it back on. So we can scroll through that page one more time. I'll choose turn on content blockers. It'll reload. And then I scroll through and you can see all of those little advertisement sections have disappeared and that little pop-up at the bottom of the screen is no longer there either. Something important to note with a content blocker that makes it a little bit different from the traditional ad blocking add-ons that you might be used to on the browser is the way that it works. With a traditional ad blocking system, many of those ads are still loaded. Many of those sections of the web page are still loaded, but instead they are hidden from view. They kind of load and then they get stopped and you don't see them, but they're still there. With content blockers on iOS, you actually never load those things in the first place. the browser goes to the page, and as it's loading, it does not include those sections that you have blocked in the content blocker. So this takes things a step further than you might be used to in other types of ad blocking, because it completely keeps those sections of the page, those types of ads from loading. It makes for a much zippier, much faster, much more enjoyable internet browsing experience. So between content blockers and those settings that can make your experience browsing the web a little bit easier, be it the reader view for Safari, or making adjustments to the size of the page, or choosing to load the desktop version of a page or the mobile version, depending, I hope that I've made your Safari browsing a little bit easier and a little more awesome. I want to thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Hands on iOS. Get your hands on those devices and let me know if you have any other questions. You can email those handsoniOS@twit.tv. And hey, if you haven't subscribed yet, please do. It's twit.tv/HOI, where I've got links to all the ways you can subscribe, be it Spotify or YouTube or Google Podcasts or Apple Podcasts, wherever you are coming from. Go ahead and click that subscribe button. We do appreciate it. And if you're right here on YouTube, hit the subscribe button. I'd love it if you give this video a thumbs up, of course. And if you ring the bell, as they all say, that will let you know when the latest episode of Hands on iOS is available, ready, and published. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you next time.
Be sure to check out the other shows on the network, like my other show, Hands on Wellness. I love to share different tips and tricks that's going to help you get a better grasp on your personal wellness. Just go to twit.tv/how and subscribe now.